Praise the Lord. You're saved and you know it. Say amen. Amen. Saved and happy about it. Say amen. Amen. I mean, he's glad to be back again this year. Feel the presence of the Lord. We're so honored to get to be back with you and get to be here without any hindrances as far as being here on the first night. Last year we had a tragedy and couldn't get here till Wednesday night. Amen. But we are so thankful to get to be here tonight. Amen. Did run into some hindrances on Interstate 71 down in Louisville. They had one-lane traffic and stopped us about an hour and 30 minutes. We didn't move hardly 5 miles. Amen. But we're here. Amen. We're excited to be in the presence of the Lord. They were talking about different things, and Brother Micah was saying about youth camp, and this will be the best place to find your love of your life and the will of God. We don't come looking for that. Amen. But it was here almost, me and her was trying to calculate it up, probably 13, 14 years ago that I met my wife. Amen. Here. And so this is a homecoming for us. Amen. And she was raised here, and this is where she come to youth camp her entire life. And the blessings of God that instilled in her. And she tells everywhere we go, this is a breeding ground of ministry. And I believe that. Amen. And I'm grateful, amen, for how the Lord blessed us, amen, by being here, amen, several years ago when God put us together. And I am grateful, amen, for her. Can we give her a hand clap tonight? She's able to be with me. Amen. And I say this, there's a lot of preachers' wives, and I don't mean this in any bad way to anybody or to belittle anybody. There's a lot of preachers' wives, if their husbands weren't a preacher, they wouldn't even be in ministry. And if you're a young preacher and you're looking for a wife, if she wouldn't pursue ministry without you, she ain't the one for you. Boy, it's quiet now. Because you need one that's going to pursue ministry, that wants ministry with everything they have. I've had too many council meetings with couples who are struggling in their ministry because the wife didn't want it near as bad as the husband did. And so I'm grateful from the bottom of my heart for my wife, who loves ministry as much or more than I do. And I'm grateful to the call of God upon her life. She loves my church as much or more than I do. I tell you what, and I'm honored for the Lord to bless me. And I'm bringing that all up because it is an anniversary for us. Amen. Hallelujah. And I didn't even know this until after we got together. She pulled up on the grounds and didn't know me. And she said to Brother Rex's wife, which is one of her best friends, I was coming from the baseball field. And she said, "Who is that?" Amen. Thank the Lord. The Lord had somebody that liked me. Amen. She said, "Who is that?" And Brother Rex's wife in return said, "Well, that's Brother Greg Atkins." Said he's preaching the night service. And she didn't know me, and I didn't know her. And for the next solid year, she just fasted and prayed. She felt a connection to me. But she's the kind of girl that even after I got engaged to her, she wouldn't speak to me unless I spoke to her first. We pulled up on a church grounds one place, camp meeting, and she got out and went to the restroom, and I went to the restroom, come back out. She walked right by me, didn't even say a word. I said, "Hey, baby, we engaged. You can talk to me now." That's the kind of girl she was. She fasted and prayed that whole year. "Lord, if this is what you want," then that next year she come to camp here. She's a counselor. She said, "Lord, if he's going to, if me and him's ever, if anything's going to happen, you're going to have to move on him because I don't talk." And she's not a flirtatious girl at all. And I tell you what, I walked on here on Monday night, and I'm going to be honest with you. I was supposed to be preaching, but I just scanned the crowd like I've always do. Amen. Just to overlook the crowd. And there she was. I said, "Who in the world is that?" Amen. And the rest is history. Amen. And here we are. Amen. We've been married. This is our 10th year. And God has richly blessed us. We have 3 biological children and 1 adopted son. And God has blessed us. Our church has just over doubled. We're busting the scene. We baptized 45 last 4 Sundays ago. 4 entire whole families. I got to baptize 3 more entire whole families in 2 Sundays. God has blessed us, our ministry, and I'm grateful for that. Not bragging on us, but bragging on the will of God and the plan of God. And we're honored to be here on these grounds with such great ministries. One of the greatest mentors in my life, Brother L.L. Collins. Can we give him a hand clap tonight? That's an amazing man of God. He is truly my hero. Amen. I love and appreciate him. Appreciate all these other ministries. Amen. Ministries that were birthed. Amen. Here in this youth camp, so it's an honor to be with Brother Micah this year. I think this is our first meeting to preach together. We've preached in meetings together before, but not as scheduled day speaker, night speaker. So we're honored to work with them. Amen. His wife growed up here in youth camp too. Amen. And so we're honored here. And Brother Bobby Bailey's here tonight, a great missionary. Can we give Brother Bobby a hand clap for what he's doing for God? Amen. I love Brother Bobby already, but getting to know him on the mission field is just an extreme blessing. And he is truly a man of God. And God birthed him into missions right here in this floor. Amen. We preached that. I didn't know that till I come back after not being here for a while. And he walked up to me and said, Brother Greg, I want you to know, remember that year you strained those mission posters across the front? You preached on missions. He said, that year, he said, the Lord called me to be a missionary, and I've been mission work. And since then, this year, we've been over where he's at twice. Amen. And preach for him and minister with him. And he is truly a man of God and got great integrity. Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand clap for all he's done and what he's going to do in this house. Did you come now, church? Amen. Praise the Lord. You worship with us tonight as we try to sing and kick this thing off. I told somebody, amen, Monday nights are not exactly my favorites. Friday nights are not exactly my favorites. Monday night's breaking ice night. Friday night, everybody's ready to go. Amen. Praise the Lord. So I enjoy Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday a whole lot better. Amen. Because a lot of times I feel like Monday nights, you're just there just to break through the ice. But I feel an urgency, and I feel the presence of God, and we're just going to kick right in here and going to start from the get-go exactly what God has spoken to us to preach and sent me to this youth camp with. I've not come with a sermons. I've come with a word from heaven. I feel like God gave me for this generation, for this particular time. And if you've heard me recently, about anywhere, in youth meetings, in any places, you're probably going to hear some of the same stuff, because God has so spoke to me so vividly to bring this to this year's youth camp. Amen. And I feel it's the stronger in my heart. You worship with us tonight as we kick off, amen, the first night of this meeting. Nothing's too big for my God. No, 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 no. Nothing's too big for my God. Oh, I'm not gonna be discouraged. I'm not gonna be depressed. Nothing's too big for God when I'm in His rest. Well, I say nothing's too big for my God. No, 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 nothing's too big for my God. Oh, I'm not gonna be discouraged. I'm not gonna be depressed. Nothing's too big for God when I'm in His rest. Oh, He's higher than the highest mountain. He's deeper than the deepest sea. He's stronger than a locomotive. He's faster than the bullet speed. He's wiser than a man named Webster. Eternal deity. Oh, nothing's too
for God, no impossibility. Well, I say nothing's too big for my God. No, 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 nothing's too big for my God. Oh, I'm not gonna be discouraged. I'm not gonna be depressed. Cause nothing to, how many believe that on Monday night? Amen. Oh, nothing's too big for my God. No, 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 nothing's too big for my God. Oh, I'm not gonna be discouraged. I'm not gonna be depressed. Nothing's too big for God when I'm in His rest. Can you say it? Oh, He's higher than the highest mountain. He's deeper than the deepest sea. He's stronger than a locomotive. He's faster than the bullet speed. He's wiser than a man named what's the eternal deity. Oh, nothing's too big for God, no impossibility. Oh, I say nothing's too big for my God. Oh, no, 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 nothing's too big for my God. Well, I'm not gonna be discouraged. I'm not gonna be depressed. That's just too big for God when I'm in here. I love this verse. Well, never has there been a problem that my God couldn't solve. Oh, never has there been a question that even baffled the mind of God. Well, the saints still have the power to rise above the enemy. Well, nothing's too big for God, no impossibility. Oh, I say nothing's too big for my God. Oh, no, 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 nothing's too big for my God. Well, I'm not gonna be discouraged. I'm not
gonna be discouraged.
Oh, nothing's too big for God. One more time as we get into this first night. Well, never has there been a problem that my God couldn't solve. Oh, never has there been a question that even baffled the mind of God. Well, saints still have the power to rise above the enemy. Oh, nothing's too big for God, no impossibility. Oh, I say nothing's too big for my God. Oh, no, 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 nothing's too big for my God. Well, I'm not gonna be discouraged. Not gonna be depressed. Nothing too big for God when I'm in His rest. I said nothing too big for God. Oh, nothing's too big for God. Oh, nothing's too big for God when I'm in His rest. Come on, let's give the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Come on Monday night. Go ahead and give Him a Wednesday night praise. A Thursday night praise. Amen. Oh, we praise You, Jesus. We give You glory. Amen. Young people, never has there been a problem that my God couldn't solve. Oh, never has there been a question that even baffled the mind of God. Well, young people still have the power to rise above the enemy. Nothing's too big for God, no impossibility. Well, I say nothing's too big for my God. No, 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 nothing's too big for my God. Oh, I'm not gonna be discouraged. I'm not gonna be depressed. Nothing's too big for God when I'm in His rest. Come on, give the Lord a hand clap of praise tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. Amen, amen, amen. Shake hands with three people before you're seated. Say, ain't nothing too big for God. Ain't nothing too big for God. Amen, amen. We're going to turn tonight at the Lord to help us. Amen. Again, with great honor, we hear, we appreciate all the pastor staff, all the pastor board that are here, all the men of God that are on this board. Let's give all them a hand clap tonight, every one of them, for the work that they do. Amen. And I believe this is the first time me and Brother Snow's been in service together, I think. We've heard about each other, and we have mutual friendships that we talk to. Amen. And they uplift him very highly, and I've heard so many great things, and so I'm honored for him to be in service tonight and honored to get to meet him when service is over. Amen. Such a great work that God has used him to do in youth ministries. Amen. And I appreciate, amen, him. And I thank God, amen, for the opportunity to get to meet him tonight. My theme scriptures this week is going to come from Acts chapter 13, verse 36, and Acts chapter 17 and verse 6. I feel so an urgency in my spirit that God has birthed this into my heart. That a lot of times, you know, we as evangelists, preachers, God will give us. I know in my youth camps throughout the years, God will, average preach about 10 a year. Tried to slow down and do 5, and it was 7. Amen. And then this year, I said I was going to stop and only do 5 or 4, try to get it on down, end up with 9. Amen. Youth camp meetings this summer. But God has burdened my heart so greatly with this message, his word. I had to do a couple of two or three youth conferences since March. The Lord laid this into me the end of March. And I couldn't wait to youth camp to go ahead and start telling the generation, this generation, what God has laid into my spirit. So I come tonight. I'm not as interested, amen, in the bigness of the crowd. But I'm here to talk to who God has sent me here to talk to. And I believe God has strategically placed your life and our lives in the same place at the same time for a reason and a purpose. And I thank God for what he's going to speak to us and what he's going to do in your heart and life. Amen. And this week, the theme, I asked Brother Pastor Setzer, what was the theme this year? I hadn't heard what the theme was. And but he said it was out of idol. And so my title, my messages may not be out of idol, but it's going to go right with it. Amen. And so Acts chapter 13 and verse number 36, one of the most important scriptures in a young person's life is right here. Then Acts chapter 17 verse 6. And for the first night of this meeting, we'll be in Psalms chapter 40. But our theme scripture that we'll be reading all week long, except probably maybe toward the end we may switch up. But I feel this. I came here with this on my heart. And if I don't get to preach anything else, this is what I feel so strongly to talk to you concerning. The Bible reads in Acts chapter number 13, verse number 36. There's a scripture that I could have that would, I would hope would be able to quote my life would be this scripture. Amen. At the end of my life, should the Lord tarry and I go by the way of the grave. Bible says in verse number 36, for David... After, let's read it together. Let's stand for the reading of the word tonight. Amen. They'll get this worked out. Amen. Acts chapter number 13 and verse number 36. Let's read it out loud together. We're going to read the first part and stop there. For David, after he served his own generation, by the will of God, fell asleep. Read it again with me. For David, after he served his own generation, by the will of God, fell asleep. One more time. For David, after he served his own generation by the will of God, he just fell asleep. Can you shout amen? Acts chapter 17 and verse number 6. Acts chapter 17 and verse number 6. The Bible reads unto us, and when they had found them not, they drew Jason and certain brethren unto the rulers of the city, crying, not just talking it, not just whispering it, but they were crying it. These that have turned the world upside down are come hither also. Can you shout amen? These that have turned the world upside down have come hither also. Can you shout that out loud with me? Like they did in that city that day, crying aloud. These that have turned the world upside down have come hither also. Again, these that have turned the world upside down have come hither also. Can you shout amen? Two scrawny disciples, fresh beaten from the prison of Philippi, walking into Thessalonica with fresh wounds, amen, fresh scars, amen, and the pain of the beating and the suffering and the stench, amen, of the smell of being in that prison. They didn't look strong and look mighty and look powerful. But the city cried, these that have turned the world upside down have come hither also. They had no power in their strength of ability physically, but their power was in the power of the cause that they live for and the destiny that God had destined them to be. As we look in Psalms chapter number 40, familiar scripture to us tonight. Psalms chapter 40. You know I'm under the anointing when I can kill a spider. Amen. Because I'm scared to death of them otherwise. I'm just picking. Psalms chapter number 40. I waited patiently upon the Lord. Everybody shouting, he inclined unto me. And he heard my cry. Hallelujah. Can you shout amen, young folks? He heard my cry. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay. And what? Set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. Everybody shout that with me. And established my goings. Hath put a new song in my mouth. Even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear, and shall trust in the Lord. He brought me out of the miry clay, out of the horrible pit, and set, everybody, young folks, shout it out loud with me, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings. Let me hear you shout that again. And established my goings. Father, in the name of Jesus tonight, we can do nothing without you except you anoint us. We are nothing. But I pray your holy hand touch us tonight. God, that you would move upon us, that we could speak into the ears of this precious group of young people on the first night of this meeting. That it not just be a breaking of the ice meeting tonight, but God, that you would move in a powerful way as you do Wednesday and Thursday night. It's not that you move Wednesday or Thursday night greater than Monday night. It's just the fact, Lord, we're more ready for you Wednesday and Thursday. But God, I pray you make this group of young people ready tonight on the first night of this meeting. And all the young folks shouted, amen. And hallelujah. Now, as we have looked into the Word of God, you may be seated tonight in the house of the Lord. We have dealt with you concerning Acts chapter 13, verse 36, Acts 17 and 6. And then we've went to Psalms 40 for the first night of this meeting to declare unto you that God has a divine will and plan and destiny for your life. We find out that these two young men that have walked, these apostles, disciples that have walked into the city of Thessalonica, amen, they were scared of them because they knew their God and they knew the direction that God had pointed them to go, and they were pursuing it with everything that was within them. Now, it is the will of God. Everybody shout, will of God. It is the will of God for you to know the will of God in your life right now. Amen. I used to think people were spiritual when they said they have prayed for 35 years. I've been praying for 35 years for the will of God. I said, man, that man's spiritual. That's a spiritual man. Now, I understand praying 35 years for a healing and praying 35 years for a lost loved one, but to waste 35 years praying about the will of God for your life is a waste. That is not spiritual. Amen. Amen. It is not the will of God that you struggle throughout your teenage years and not know the mind of God and the direction of God for your life. For David, after he served his own generation by the will of God, fell asleep. The most number one priority of your life tonight, as Brother Micah was saying and Brother Hurst was saying, the number one priority of this meeting is for you to leave here not just shouting and dancing and talking in tongues, but to leave here and to know the direction that God has called you into your life. Amen. So many times we have looked at youth camp and said, man, we had a blowout and they shouted for 4 hours and danced for 2 hours. And amen, they were slain in the spirit. But the problem that bothers me sometimes is how much out of all of that did we get direction in what God has called us to so that we can leave here and pursue the will of God. Now, the reason why this is such a touchy subject and there's some confusion in some areas and it's not a priority is because the emphasis of American Christianity is not on the will of God. You say a prayer, you repeat after me, you say, Lord, I confess my sins, I'm sorry, then you're saved. Can you shout amen? That's American Christianity that teaches us. But I want you to know tonight that if you read the Bible and read red letter gospel, them that are ready for the rapture of the church or the coming of the Lord is them that are doing the will of God. A saved man is a man who is trying his best to pursue the will of God. Amen. Oh, you're going to help me preach tonight, aren't you? Amen. You see, Jesus was asked the question, who's going to heaven? He said, he who does the will of my Father. He asked them, they asked him again, who is my brother and who is my sister? He said to them, they that do the will of my Father. He was the example to us of what we are to be. And throughout his ministry, his priority and the theme of his example was this: I am here to do the will of my Father. So then we must ask ourselves, what is sin? Can you shout amen? And if I polled the audience tonight in this Pentecostal crowd and I said, what is sin? Let you name it. I'm going to hear stuff like drinking, smoking. Come on, somebody. Can you shout amen? Adultery. Come on, somebody. What's sin? Lying. One little kid said disrespect. I said, amen. Hallelujah.
lying, drinking, adultery. Amen. Amen. Not going to movie theaters. Can you shout amen? That would be the Pentecostal number ones. Can you shout amen? Amen. That's what we've named throughout the years. Amen. That old song. Amen. Used to say, I don't smoke, I don't dip, I don't chew, and I don't fellowship with them that do. I'm too old tonight. Amen. Little David, play on your harp. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Ain't none of y'all heard that wholeness song? I tell you once, I tell you again, can't go to heaven living in sin. Little David, play on your harp. Hallelujah. I tell you once, I tell you twice, you can't go to heaven with another man's wife. Little David, play on your harp. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Believe it or not, I was in one meeting one night and a guy got to singing that song. He said, I tell you once, I tell you again, you can't go to heaven tanning that skin. Little David, play on your harp. Hallelujah. Amen. And they sing that song, and I'm not picking, amen. I'm making a point here. When we begin to say, amen, that's the number one sin. Can't do this. But when you realize what sin really is, what Jesus taught sin it was anything that hinders you from doing the will of God for your life. Anything that is more important to you than the will of God is sin in your life. Somebody have church with me tonight. Amen. That's the reason why, and I'm not going to stay here and miss again to the message. Amen. That's the reason why Jesus told the parable of the marriage supper about a man who had a supper, wedding supper plan, and he sent them out to invite them that had been bidding to come. And when it did, one jumped up and he went to him and he said, you've been bidding to the supper, come. He said, man, I can't come. He said, I fell in love with my secretary. I'm leaving my wife and going to commit adultery. Amen. The other one said, I got a keg of beer and I'm just going to go throw a party and have a good time. The other one said, I can't come. I've won $5,000 and visiting ahead to Las Vegas to gamble. Is that what Jesus taught? No, it didn't. He said, one of them looked at him and said, I cannot come because I've married a wife and I've got to take care of her. Another one rose up and said, I bought some oxen and I got to take care of the oxen. Another one said, I have, amen, bought me some land and I got to take care of my land. Jesus said that these men who made excuses shall not enter my supper. Then he gets as far as to say, he shall not even taste of my supper. Anybody that will put anything over the priority of my pleasure and my will. Come on, somebody. I know I'm preaching pretty tough the first night. But I told you I come in here ready just to talk to you. Amen. He said, they shall not even taste of my supper. They shall not even eat of it because they've not done the will of God. They put it in priority. And I come to tell you tonight, young people, you got to hear what pastors come to tell you, that the greatest thing in your life and the focus of your life should be centered around the will of God. And David served his own generation by the will of God. Then he fell asleep. I want you to understand something tonight, that when God found you, the book of Psalms chapter number 40, we'll touch a little bit on this every night, but the book of Psalms chapter number 40, the Bible said that David said that I waited patiently on the Lord. Hallelujah. The Lord, I was searching for him and I knew not what I searched for. I was longing for him and I knew not what I was longing for. But then I I found Jesus, and I knew that I would search no more, because he filled that longing down in my heart. Amen. David said, I waited patiently on the Lord, and the Lord inclined unto me, and he heard my cry. I want you to know tonight, young people, that the Lord has come this week to incline unto you. No matter where you are, no matter what you found yourself into, and if you're not saved tonight, then you're in the right place. Amen. And no matter what condition you're in tonight, the Lord is here to incline unto you and pull you out of whatever you have found yourself into, because he has heard your cry. You say, Pastor, I'm not crying. I understand that. That's not the cry I'm talking about. He heard my cry. That deep inward cry that was not heard by the ears of men, or could be seen by the ears of men or the eyes of men, but was the cry that was in the innermost part of my being. For we consist of body. We have a body. We have a soul. And we have a spirit. Hallelujah. And a lot of times, the body. Body's what we get focused on, and then we get focused on the emotional part of it. Hallelujah. But the cry that David said he heard was, he heard the cry of that deepward inward man. I come to tell some young people tonight that God has heard the silent cry of your heart, of your life. Hallelujah. You may can't express it to your mother. You may not been able to express it to your youth pastor, but God has heard your cry from the depths of your spirit. I was 14 years old. I didn't know to seek the Lord. My family wasn't saved, and I didn't know to cry out to the Lord, but for 3 or 4 weeks before he found me, I was crying physically. I was emotionally broken. But I didn't have a clue when a 17-year-old boy pulled up in my yard and said, you want to go to church with me? Hallelujah. That God had heard a much deeper cry than my physical cry and my soulish cry. Some of you have cried over things that's happened in your life, but that ain't the cry that I'm talking about. God is not moved by the comfort of your physical man. Hallelujah, or the discomfort of it. But God is moved by that deep word in that part of you that God put in you that longs for him, that desires for him. And though I was 14 years old, messed up in a broken home, my home a mess, nowhere for any example of any godliness or Christ centeredness at all, but yet God heard my cry. Hallelujah. And he sent a 17-year-old kid who had not even saved himself to knock on my door and invite me to the house of God. And I went to the church that night, and that woman got up and started singing, the God on the mountain is still God in the valley. When things go wrong, he'll make them right. And the power of God fell on her. She began to dance under the influence of the Holy Ghost. Bobby pins went to fly. Her hair come down, tumbling down. And the power of God come by me. It wasn't just what I saw that moved me, but there was the Spirit of God that arrested my heart, and something spoke to me and said, if you go to that altar, I'll save you. I didn't even know what save was, and I didn't know how to pray, but I went down to that altar for 45 minutes. All I could say was, God, whatever that lady on that stage is, God, I want that in my life. And for the last weeks and months of that, before that day, August the 30th, my cry was reaching heaven, and God inclined unto me, and he heard my cry. That silent cry, that cry, that part of you that you would love to cry out, but you're scared of what everybody would think about you.
the way you would love to worship, but you're scared of what everybody would think about you. But I'm telling you tonight, God wants to break the silence and allow you to let the cry of your spirit man to cry out tonight. Not your physical cry, not your emotional cry, but that deep inward move of that part of him that he placed in you that longs for him. And David said, he heard my cry and he inclined unto me and he placed his hand on me. Anybody going to have church with me tonight? I come to tell you, amen, that the Lord looked through that miry pit of clay, amen, and reached down and said, no, I can't do nothing with that, and I can't do nothing with that, and I can't. And he said, you right there. And he placed his hand upon my life. Hallelujah. I didn't pick him. I didn't find him. He found me. He chose me. Hallelujah to Jesus. And I come to tell you here tonight, you are not a mistake. I said, you are not a mistake. And I don't care the circumstances surrounding your getting here and how you were brought here. Amen. I'm going to get pretty bold and plain a little bit right here. Amen. It doesn't matter if you are the result of a backseat love affair. Amen. I come to tell you tonight, you are not a mistake. The fact that you've got breath in your body lets you know that God is not through with you. There's some of you been raised in this all your life. You've been to Sunday school every Sunday. You probably got the award for never missing a Sunday, but you feel like you're going nowhere and you're doing nothing. But I come to tell you on the first night of this meeting, God sent me here to tell you, you're not a mistake. You're not here to fill up space. I don't care if you're not the baby and you're not the number one oldest and you're not the girl or you're not daddy's baby boy, but I come to tell you, no matter what circumstance it is in your life, you have a reason and a purpose and a destiny and a blueprint of your life that God has destined. Somebody have church with me here tonight, and God has placed his hand upon your life. He chose me. He picked me. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but it moves me to know that God of the universe laid his hand on me. That he picked me out of everybody. He said, I want you. Well, you're not shouting, then that's all right. I'm not here to shout you. Hallelujah. I'm just here to talk to you. Amen. He laid his hand on you. Amen. You would have never known Brother Snow except the Lord laid his hand on him and he chose him. Hallelujah to Jesus. You'd have never known Brother Setzer except the Lord reached down and laid his hand and he chose you. You'd have never known Brother Carr except the Lord laid his hand and chose him. Hallelujah. So guess what? We have nothing to do with this except the fact that the mighty God of this universe picked me. And he said, I'm going to do something with that boy. I'm going to do something with that young girl. Hallelujah. My wife didn't come from the most popular church in this youth camp. Come on, somebody. She didn't come from the most talented crowd either. Hallelujah. But God picked her. Amen. And formed her. Just, amen, for the ministry and to join with my ministry. And I come on Monday night to tell you it's an honor to be chosen by God and to walk worthy of the calling that he's called you to. I come to tell you tonight, I'm here to please him and please him only. Are you hearing me tonight? Why? Because he chose me. Picked me. He reached down in that miry pit. I heard Brother Ralph Cox tell a story one time. I believe it was something to this effect of a boy who was adopted and a boy who was born to a family. They didn't think they could have children, so they adopted and they had a child. Some of that effect, or either they had a child and couldn't have no more and they wanted one, so they adopted. Either way, there was an adopted son and a birth son. And this adopted son, amen, loved his parents, but he was adopted. The blood son loved his parents too, but when they would get in an argument, the blood son loved to pick on the adopted son. And you know how we can be mean sometimes and we say some awful things. And that blood son would always pick at that adopted son and said, "You don't belong to daddy, mama. You don't have our blood in you. You don't look like us. Our blood's not in you. You're not even part of who we are." That adopted son would cry, and his mom would comfort him and caress him and hold him and let him know, "I love you, baby," and all these things. And amen. All of a sudden, as time went on, they would always, and that blood son would always bring that up. But all of a sudden, one day, that adopted son got old enough to understand what took place. And they got to arguing one day, and that a blood son said to that adopted son, "You don't belong to us. You're not our blood. You're not part of our family. Daddy and mama, amen, there's not your real mom and daddy." When he did, that adopted son had all he could take. He looked back at that blood son. He said, "Let me tell you something, Bubba." Hallelujah. He said, "The day you were born, amen, you were brought into this world. They took you from mama's womb and placed you in her arms. She had to love you because you were hers. Amen. And no matter how ugly you were, and no matter how much you cried, she had to take you home because you belong to her. But when they got me," hallelujah, "they come down to the adoption agency and they flip through the pages of pictures and then they watched us play and they come down and for weeks they spent time with a bunch of us until finally one day they said, 'We think our hearts set on that one.' And though no matter who you were and what you were, you belong to mama, and they had to bring you home. But they chose to bring me home." Hallelujah. They chose to bring me home. I come to tell you tonight, on the first night of this meeting, David said, "The Lord chose me. He picked me." Hallelujah. When Jesse was waiting there for Samuel, and Samuel come into his house, Samuel said, "I haven't chosen this, I haven't chosen this, and I haven't chosen this." God said, "There's a boy, a man in Jesse's house." And Jesse said, "I don't have one left except my sheep boy." Hallelujah. He said, "Go get him." And when David come from afar, Samuel said, "That's him." God said, "I found me a man who'll do my will, who'll do my plan, and do my heart." God chose David. Hallelujah. There's a lot of theories concerning that. Amen, because when you read the physique of David, his hair color, amen, there's some controversy there, amen, that he was not full-blooded, hallelujah, because of his hair color, amen. Are you hearing me? And so he was probably an outcast, amen. He's probably a mixed breed, and therefore that's why they didn't allow him, amen, to come to the meeting, because Jesse didn't want nobody to see that son. Hallelujah. Whoa, anybody having church with me? But I want you to know 10 generations before that, his great, 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 great grandfather, amen, had him, amen, without being married. And he was, his great, 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 great grandfather was what they called the bastard child, born without a father. And if that happened, you were cursed to the 10th generation. Anybody having church with me? But David was the generation that ended the curse. And no wonder David said, "I was glad when they said unto me, 'Let us go into the house of the Lord.'" Hallelujah. Besides that, his grandmother was Ruth. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. Who was a Moabitish woman who knew what it was like to be an outcast and not be like all the other Israelites. But I believe she rocked David on her knee and said, "Baby, Israel's God is not a respected person. And though you don't look like your brothers, and you don't have the physique of your brothers, God has chosen you." Hallelujah to Jesus. God has picked you. David's out there singing, "You're my shepherd. You're my God. You're my rock, my high tower. He fell in love with God in so much when he had the chance to lose the kingdom after he sinned. You don't hear him crying in Psalms, amen, in the prayer of his repentance. He don't say nothing about the politics, the palace, hallelujah, or his castle or his kingdom. He said, just don't take your Holy Spirit from me. Hallelujah. Just take not your Holy Spirit from, because David knew it was the hand of God upon his life that made him what he was. The fact that God, does anybody know what I'm preaching about here tonight? Does anybody know that God has picked you and chosen you and pulled, everybody shout, he pulled me up. He brought me out of a horrible pit. Hallelujah. I couldn't have got out of that pit on my own. My only one that knows that tonight. I said, I couldn't have got out of that pit on my own. I couldn't have got out of that pit by myself. But the Lord picked me. Hallelujah. He laid his hand on me and he brought me out of that pit. If he hadn't have done it, I'd have never got out of that pit. If he hadn't have brought me out of that pit, I'd still be wallowing in that stuff today. Hallelujah. Whoa, I feel the Holy Ghost here today. Hallelujah tonight. If he hadn't have picked me and brought me up, and there's some of you in a pit tonight, and if I was you and I was in that pit, I'd start right now crying, because the only way you're going to get out of it is to get the attention of the Lord and the Lord pick you up. Him to choose you, place his hand upon you. Hallelujah. My son James, that we adopted from California, from the time he was 2 to 10. Amen. His 5 older brothers took care of him on the streets of California. Brother Mike Blue told me when he was at Broadway, he said, Brother Greg, there's 2 kids down in Alabama that was off the streets of California. Their moms, ladies adopted them, foster care adopted them. Said they need a church. And amen. And we tried to connect for a solid year and couldn't. All of a sudden we met at a certain place because they had canceled a meeting where I was at and had to be there anyway. Make a long story short, God connected us, placed them in our lives. Hallelujah. Amen. It's been 10 years, almost, or a little less than 10 years. Amen. About 8 and a half, almost 9 years. Amen. Since he come into our house and our home and into our life. Amen. But you know, God picked him in California, born with his lungs protruding out of his body from his cracked parents, lived on the streets, part of the supreme white power gang is what his family was involved in. But God said, I'll take him. Hallelujah. And he brought it. Amen. And you want to know what, Pastor Setzer, this year? Amen. This last year was a rough year. Amen. And not a rough one, and like things were wrong, but the fact that his brother that was just older than him that come begin to seek for his family. I've asked him to find his family, amen, all the time. We'll find your dad, your mom, and let you reunite, amen. They ever say, but he never wanted to, but his brother did. All of a sudden he's found his brothers and found his dad, found his mother. I thought, Lord, he's doing too good. His ministry's blossoming and you're blessing his ministry, and I don't want nothing to hinder that. Hallelujah. But you want to know why? Amen. I was frightful of it, but I wasn't going to say nothing. But after he, amen, had contact with his brother, his dad's in jail, his brother's in jail, his brothers are in jail, amen, his mother, amen, still don't have a clue what she's doing, where she's at, who she is, because she's so messed up on drugs. I said, dear God, this is going to hinder him. No, he got up in the pulpit that next night. Hallelujah. He said, I had the privilege of getting to contact my family I haven't talked to since I was 10 years old. He said, but I want to thank God that he did not leave me in that condition. Because if he had left me there, I'd be in the same shape that they're in. What was he saying? The Lord handpicked me, brought me from California to Missouri, put me in the hands of a woman that was in Alabama to get me in the house of Brother Al. Are you here to hear me tonight? I come to tell you, God laid his hand upon that clay and brought it up. And if you're there tonight, you can't shout your way out of it. You can't sing your way out of it. You can't live your way out of it. Jesus has got to pick you up. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit. It was a horrible pit. And what did he do, Brother Snow? He set my feet. Y'all ain't having church with me tonight. He set my feet upon a rock. Hallelujah. Oh, are you hearing me tonight? I come to tell you I'm here tonight, not by my own ability, but by the strength and the resources of that is underneath me. Hallelujah. I come to tell you, some of you kids don't have no stability in your life, no security in your life. Amen. Your home's been wishy-washy and up and down, and you don't know your church has been wishy-washy up and down. Come on, somebody. But I come to tell you the Holy Ghost has come here to start a revolution in you and make a revolutionary out of you. He's come to give you some stability. He's come to give you some security. Hallelujah, stability. He set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. I'm telling you. Hallelujah. Brother Greg, how have you made it through your teenage years? I'm standing on the solid rock of ages. Hallelujah. I'm not here because I have any power. I'm not here because I have any strength. I'm here because I've held on to the rock. Hallelujah. Yeah, the storms have blown. The winds have come. The rains have fallen. But by the help and the grace of God, I'm founded on a solid foundation. It's not my ability, but it's the ability of the rock. He said, God has come here to pick you up out of that pit and set your feet on a solid rock, a foundation in your life. When I look back over the 21 years of serving the Lord, the only bragging I can do is on the rock. Been a lot of shaky days, but the rock's still standing. Hallelujah. Ooh. Hallelujah. Amen. There's been a lot of ministries went down for less than what I've been lied on. Hallelujah. I said there's been a lot of ministries went down for a lot lesser than what I've been lied on. But the fact is, I'm still here. God's still blessing me, and God's still working in my ministry, in my life, not because of my power, but because when I fail, I fell on the rock. When I hit my storms, I hit the rock. There have been many times I found out it wasn't my buddies that were keeping me afloat. It wasn't the movement that I was a part of keeping me afloat. Hallelujah. But when it boils down to it, it's still that old solid rock that he placed me on a long time ago. Hallelujah. I found out when you get in trouble, some ascend off to the side that you think was with you and wait for you to fall apart. Well, I did fall apart, but I fell apart on the rock. Hallelujah. Woo! Is anybody hearing me preach here tonight? And I'm here by the grace of God because he set my feet on a rock. And God has come on Monday night of Southern Ohio to set you on a solid foundation and establish your going. Hallelujah to Jesus. That old coon hunter got in that river. His boat turned over, if I remember it right. Hallelujah. They found him some miles down the river by helicopter holding on. Am I the only one? Brother Snow, come help me. Brother Michael, come help. Y'all come help me get on this rock. Hallelujah. Grab a hold of it over there. Hold on for dear life, boys. Hallelujah. Amen. The storms have come in our lives as young men and young people. Hallelujah. But God had called us and picked us and chose us. Hallelujah. And we're still here tonight because we held on to the rock. Hallelujah. You hearing me? Amen. When the winds came, they found that old coon hunter. He was holding on for dear life. They said, how did you make it through the hours of the night of the storm? He said, I'm telling you, I slipped. I almost fell off. I almost let go. He said, I moved. He said, but I want you to know I shook. But the rock I was holding on to never slipped, never shook, and never moved. I come to tell you tonight, 21 years later, it's simple this. It ain't some theological answer I got for you. He set my feet on a rock, and I've held on to the rock for 21 years. I come to tell you, thank you, brother, that God has come to set your feet on a solid foundation. And everybody shout, He established my goings. He gave me direction. He didn't just save me. He gave me direction. God has come here on Monday night to tell you this week He wants you to leave here knowing where you're going. Hallelujah. Are you hearing me preach tonight? Go. Go. Where are you going? Huh? Where are you running to? Well, go. Go. Just take off. Go. Why are you going that way? Why don't you come this way? Come on. Why are you going this way? Go. Where are you going? Why didn't you choose the middle aisle and you didn't choose the side aisle? Go. Well, I didn't tell you to go down the side aisle. You could have kept going down the middle aisle. I just told you to go. Go. He don't have a clue. That's good, Bob. Where to go? And at youth camp, you get all this go, 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 go. And you get back home to your home church and you're going. And in too much time, you lose all your fervency. You lose all your passion. You lose all your desire because you don't have a clue where you're going. But the same Bible said that He brought me out of a horrible pit. He chose me. Said He set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. He gave me direction. You say, Brother Greg, my pastor don't preach sanctification. That's all right. The Holy Ghost does. Brother Greg, my church don't have outreach ministries. That's all right. The Holy Ghost does. Hallelujah. And if you'll have a humble spirit and go to your pastor and let him know God's called you in a direction, I'm sure he'll let you do it. God wants you to leave here saying, I'm called to the puppet ministry. You see, I didn't come to play with you. I didn't come say, you ready? Ready? Come on. Yeah. I can't do it. My little girl can. Hallelujah. I didn't come to high five on the football field, even though I enjoyed it. Hallelujah. I like that game y'all played 2 or 3 years ago, knocked the heads off with them bat. I mean, not a bat, but them noodles. Hallelujah. Then they had that big old ball thing. I took off running down there, going to hit it. I never played that game a day in my life. I hit it and it slung me 20 feet backwards. I said, I didn't know that thing was big enough to throw my big self up that far. Hallelujah. Amen. I love it. Just like Brother Micah said, he loves it. But God ain't sent me here to pat a cake. He's not sent me here to make you feel better. He sent me here to ask you, do you know where you're going? Do you know the direction of your life? And if you don't, it's the will of God that you find it in this altar. Don't pray till you feel better. Don't pray till you just shout. Don't pray till you just stand. But pray till you get up like Brother Bobby Bailey and say, God,
has called me to the mission field. God has called me to the bus ministry. God has called me to be a son. Well, you're not shouting, but this is shouting kind of preaching. God wants to give you direction in your life. I flew into Indianapolis the other day to preach Circle City Youth Conference. I had a 22, 23-year-old boy pick me up from the airport. We was riding down the road, and I was making conversations. He's taking me to the motel. I said, well, how are you doing? You know, what's going on in your life? He said, I just finished my first year of medical school. I said, man, that's awesome. He said, I'm going to be a surgeon, an ER specialist surgeon. I said, wow. Man, I'm riding, and this guy, I'm going to make friends with him here. This friendship may bless me somewhere down the road. I'm just kidding. Now, I was proud to see a young man with such aim. And all of a sudden, he's talking to me. And he says, I said, well, how did you get in this area? How you feel? What made you go this way? He said, I was 5 years old. He said, and the Holy Ghost spoke to me at 5 years old and called me to be a missionary. Okay, I said, ER surgeon, missionary. He said, the next year when I was 6 years old, some missionaries come to our church. He said, they said, we are not missionaries by our first occupation. We are surgeons and doctors because the country their missionary work in don't allow them to come in freely like they should, so they disguise themselves with their career. And he said, God called me at 6 years old to be a doctor so I can be able to go in any mission field that I desire to work missions. He is 23 years old now. 22, right at fiscal 23. So for the last 16 years of this boy's life, he's known what direction he's going in. Since he was 6 years old, he's been pursuing one focus. I feel the Holy Ghost in this house. Hallelujah. Let me ask you something. Throughout the Old Testament, the Lord uses the clay and the potter. Isaiah 64 and 8 says, thou art my father. I'm the clay, thou art the potter. In the same chapter, same verse, he says, I'm the father and the potter. He loves me as a father, but he's a potter molding me into a man of God, molding you into a man of woman. Am I boring you tonight? Molding you into the man or woman of God that you should be. He has the patience of a father, but the drive of a potter. And throughout the Bible, he says, how can the clay say to the potter, why have you made me this? Let me ask you something. If you went out tonight and got you a handful of that mud that's down there. Matter of fact, you went to this big pile that fell off my truck where I came through a while ago. Where we parked. Pick it up. If that dirt started talking to you, what you going to do with that dirt? Get rid of it, ain't you? It'd be a freak of nature. Just get rid of it. Throw it away. Clay's talking to me. Clay don't talk to the potter. If it did, it would be unnatural. And God says, how can the clay say to me who made it? Why are you doing this? Why are you making me this? Why do you want this in my life? And we act like we have a decision in the matter anyway. When we're the clay and he's the potter. So you know what God's speaking to us tonight? And you young kids, sister's going to be teaching in the morning. She's going to teach you. You're not to say these two words. But you can say them with me tonight. God's saying to you, shut up. And let me do what I want to in your life. Just hush. Come on, everybody, do this with me right now. Y'all enjoying that? You stretching? No, won't you look at me? God is speaking to you tonight, and on Monday night, he's going, just shut up.
You've been fighting me. You've been wrestling me. You've been trying to get out of my hands. You've been trying to go in different directions. And all I want out of you is for you just to hush. How many of you do that with me again right now? Just. What I got to do tonight, Brother Greg? What does God want me to do in this altar? This is what he wants. When you were young and tender as a male, you're very tender-hearted. And a lot of times males are tender-hearted. But as they get older, they're not as tender-hearted. You don't know why? The enemy wants to shut down your yieldedness. Because a male in the hands of a potter will lead not only his home, but his church and his city and his nation. And God's looking at some 17 and 16-year-old boy. What's your name, bud?
Day?
Nate. He's wanting Nate to come to the altar and just hush. How many of you tonight just say, Lord, I'm ready. Just come that altar. You know what happened to Brother Matt? Brother Brian, they realized God had his hand on their lives and they just hushed. Brother Bobby had his degree, first one to graduate, I think he said, in his family. Had that scholarships to learn Spanish and all those business and pursued a lot of that. But then God called him to the mission field right here and could be making a lot of money. But right here, we had about a three-hour altar call that night. Not shouting, but just crying and praying. Everybody done went and get hamburgers. But somewhere in this altar, Brother Bobby just went. God said, hush, Bobby. Just hush. Whoa, I feel the Holy Ghost almighty like I usually do on Thursday night. Just hush, Bobby. And you know what Bobby did? Bobby just hushed. Become limp in the hands of the potter, because God's got a blueprint. And here's what God sent me here on Monday night to ask you. When God saves you, Brother Matt, how old was you? 16. 12. God said, now when I got Brian here, it's 12. Got Matt here. When Matt gets 16 and a half and 17, this is where I want him. Right here. See, he brought you from there to here, and he's working in your life. And he said, and by the time he gets 18 and 19, I want him right here. Hallelujah. You see, God's got a schedule. Y'all ain't hearing me. And God says, at this particular day in his life, at this particular year, I want him here. And God said, I say, Brian, at 12, and when he gets 13 and a half, almost 14, I want him right here. And I want this going on in his life. And when he gets 16, 17, 18, I want him right here. Hallelujah. Come on, somebody. Are you hearing me? But you see, it's easy to get sidetracked. Come here, Matt. That's where Matt was supposed to be when he's 18. But Matt may be over here sidetracked from the schedule of God. Come on, somebody. Oh, I don't want to get off on this tonight. Come here, Brother Brian's wife. Come here. When did you meet her? Where you started liking her? Well, how old was you? 20 and 17. So guess what? This is where he's at when he's 18. So I need you to be over here 2 years later, okay? God has this in the schedule. God has this in the plan. But if you're here and not on schedule and you're over here, come here. And you're distracted by her, even though she was a good girl and a great girl, you're off schedule. Are you hearing me? Jessica, she can't hardly get down here. I'm just kidding. I ain't got to see her yet. Amen. But him and her been together near about as long as I've known them, I think. Hallelujah. You never did get sidetracked from Jessica, I don't think. Hallelujah. See, God has a destiny and time. And all of a sudden, one year, Matt said, okay, Lord. And God picked Matt up and brought him on schedule. God sent me on first night of youth camp to ask you, are you on schedule? Are you where God destined you to be at this particular time of your life? Are you in the place that God, when He saved you, said, in 2 years I'll have her here? In 2 years I'll have him here. Because if Brian hadn't have been on schedule, he'd have never met this appointment. But thank God he was on schedule. It's because somewhere, Brian, nobody looking but me and the Lord. How many of you right now, without any further ado, without me having to beg you, slip your hand up and say, Brother Greg, I'm ready to hush. I'm ready just to shut up. And I'm ready just to yield myself to the hands of the potter. Come on, slip them up and slip them back down. How many of you, there's adults here tonight and youth leaders and counselors that might say, Brother Greg, I'm not on schedule. God sent me here to ask you, are you on schedule tonight? They told me they've been praying and fasting almost 9 weeks for this meeting, been out here about every day for 3 or 4 weeks, some of them have working and praying and the Holy Ghost moving on these campgrounds. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm going to be honest with you. I got here late because we was running. I didn't even been in the motel. Amen. Had 2.5 hours sleep last night before I left. Got in a traffic jam. Ain't even got in the motel to get. Amen. Had to get dressed in the dorm tonight. Amen. But I felt the presence of the Lord when I drove up on the ground, and it's worth every bit of the struggle and the aggravation of the traffic jam to get here. Hallelujah. Come in. And Pastor Sister, when I sat down, he said, man, the presence of the Lord's been surreal during the worship. Amen. I said, yes, sir. Amen. I already knew I could feel it while I was getting ready. The presence of God is hovering this place. This is a breeding ground of ministry. I'm not just bragging on this to make myself look good to these preachers. I don't have to. They love me and I love them. But I've been to a lot of meetings, but this is one of the honey holes of my ministry. Amen. This is a breeding ground of ministry that God said, just hush, and let me have my way with you. Are you on schedule tonight? Right now, if God's talking to you on the first night of this meeting, I'm not here to play games. And you say, God has sent me here, Brother Greg, to hear your word tonight that God has spoke to you. And I want to get on schedule and just hush. I want you on your feet in the name of Jesus. Come on, no further ado. I want you on your feet in the name of Jesus. Say, I'm not ready to. I want to shout and a shout to come. But more than anything in this world, I want to hush. You can be seated, darling. Hallelujah, Brother Brian, y'all can step up here. Right now you say, Brother Greg, God's talking to me. And I want to leave here with direction in my life.
No, it's not through.
I want to leave here knowing God's called me to children's ministry. God's called me to youth ministry. God's called me to bus ministry. God's called me to puppet ministry. God's called me to the nursing home ministry. God's called me to evangelism. God's called me to missionary. God's calling you tonight to something. He's destined you. Hallelujah. Right now in the name of Jesus, without any further ado, would you meet me right here quickly? Come on, run into this altar. We're not playing any games. I'm here for a rally. Is there any spiritual revolutionists in this house? You're going to understand that tomorrow night and Wednesday night if the Lord lets me. God has called you to be a spiritual revolutionary, to start a revolution in your church, in your home. Hallelujah. In your life, in your home, in your children, in your family's life, in your church. Come on, strip these seats. Come on, get as close as you can. Get as close. I was in 2 youth camps last week. Got home, was in a funeral, flew in, drove in, got a funeral at 11 on Saturday, got home at 10:30, preached a men's conference at 1 o'clock. Preached both services yesterday, slept 2 hours and come here. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm a little wore out in my body, but I'm telling you, amen, God is speaking to us on Monday night at this meeting. Come on, get us.
Get as close as you can. We want enough room for everybody. Who are you tonight that God sent me here to talk to? Who's the ones that God sent me here to speak into your life tonight?